So now let's double it. Let's go to 30%. Instead of saving $9,000 a year, you're going to save $18,000 a year. That's a difference. That additional $9,000 works out to an additional $750 a month. It sounds like a lot when you just look at the dollar amount, when you see like that's 15% of my paycheck going out for savings. But think about it in terms of what it buys you. An extra $750 a month buys you 15 years of financial freedom and control over your own life. That's a pretty good deal. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. This is Service and Wealth, and I'm your host, Ted Ehlert. I'm a former Marine Corps tank officer and a former financial strategist from one of the biggest investment banks in New York. Well, this is my first podcast, all right? So even if you get nothing out of today, hopefully you get at least a couple laughs at my expense as I try to figure out what I'm doing and figure out how you're supposed to talk into these things. But without any further ado, let's get on with the show. Well, today we're driving straight into unconventional savings tips for military personnel. Our content is unconventional because, to be honest, the conventional wisdom is not working anymore. When it comes to building wealth and actually retiring in the 21st century, you can't be following the plans that were developed in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s. You know, back then, whether it was my grandparents, your great-grandparents, whatever, you know, people worked for one company for 30 to 40 years. And then around age 60, 65, they retired. The company took care of them. And most of them only made it to their early 70s. Well, today, 80% of those pensions are gone. Fewer than 10% of American workers receive a pension. And we're all living a lot longer. In fact, you and I should probably plan to live at least into our 90s. My daughter's got a 50% shot of making 100, right? So her planning horizon is now not 10 years, it's 40 plus years. And for you and I, it's the same thing, 30 to 40 years that we have to plan for retirement and wealth to last us. Now, of course, only 1 in 6 military members actually stay in long enough to get a pension. So really what we're looking at here is, you know, 85% of us are going to walk away without a pension and need some form of retirement income that is pretty much like a DIY, right? Beyond Social Security, you're not getting much from that. And so this is all about how to manage your money so that when you finally do want to stop working, you have enough. But it's also about making sure that you can afford to live the life you want before retirement. And that's one of the places that the conventional wisdom really falls flat, is it says, save for retirement, save for retirement, save for retirement. Well, what happens when you do that? Well, you're definitely not going to have the cash to stay out of debt. You're not going to be able to buy the nice car that you want because you're going to be constantly financing everything and have no savings. You're not going to be able to get the dream house you want. You know, you may even be forced to stay in a job or a career longer than you planned because you have nothing to fall back on in terms of your savings or finances. So when we talk about financial freedom in the military, we're not just talking about the financial freedom that comes with retirement or early retirement. We're talking about financial freedom in which you have control of your money and you have control over your life, because ultimately that's what money is. You give up all your time and your effort to get some money so you can buy back control of your life. Okay, so if the conventional wisdom isn't going to work, we have to ask ourselves, what is this conventional wisdom? Take a moment and just think about every conversation you've had, whether it was, you know, with an aunt and uncle, your mom and dad, maybe, you know, you got a free financial counseling on Zoom during COVID, or just, you know, around the office, around your barracks. Think about the things that people talk about that are, you know, savings advice, and that's the conventional wisdom. So I'd be willing to bet that you've heard to, you know, open an independent retirement account and max that out, max out your Roth IRA for $7,000 a year if you can. You've definitely heard max out your TSP, your thrift savings plan. Can contribute $23,000 a year to that. you know, maybe you've heard some slightly more, you know, informed advice. You might have heard of the 10x rule or the 15% rule, right? And the 15% rule just says, hey, if you save 15% of your salary each, you know, each year for the next 43 years, you'll be able to retire. And, you know, that's the conventional wisdom. And all of that is just garbage. I just say it's garbage because if you do that, you're only taking care of one thing, and you're only taking care of the bare minimum and for the longest period of time that you have to even prepare for it. Which leaves us to have to answer the question of what else should I be doing? How do I get the cash I need for the life I want now? Why do I have to wait till I'm 65 to be wealthy? And when it comes to answering that question and coming up with the advice or the planning or the wisdom to do other things with your savings and your investments to create wealth that's greater and you get earlier and you have more freedom and flexibility to do with, there's just not a lot of answers. You know, just kind of the financial education that we get in the military, the traditional, you know, way of looking at things is save for retirement and in your 60s, you can enjoy it. And that's it. That is all you got. In order to flip the script and take back control of your finances, there are four unconventional tactics that you're going to use when it comes to saving. All right, the first one is to pick the correct savings rate. I use air quotes around correct because people will tell you, or they'll say to me like, hey, there's no right answer. Everybody's got their own answer. But when it comes to building wealth and achieving financial freedom, there is a better or best answer. The second is optimizing. And optimizing tactic is just how much do you put away for retirement so you guaranteed to have money later in life? And then how much do you put and where do you put it in other savings and investing accounts to enjoy it now? The third tactic is called bold beginnings. It's just like it sounds. We have no room in wealth building to ease on into it and save your first $10 or 20 bucks a week or whatever. The only way to do it is to just start big and get on the plan as soon as you can. And then the fourth is base pay budgeting. And it's just what it sounds. It's a collection of easy, simple tips to stabilize your finances and live on a lower budget. Now, before we get into this, please remember the content of this show is informational. It's about strategy, tips, and hacks. And this is not financial, legal, or tax advice. All investment bears risk. So do your own research, make your own decisions, and when in doubt, consult with a professional. Oh, and just to keep myself on the good side of the PAO, all opinions expressed today are my own, and this is not official DOD content. All right, so the big question on everybody's mind once you start getting that paycheck is, how much should I be saving? Is that a percent, a dollar amount? Like, how do I know? Well, the reality is there's a lot of guesswork because no one can predict the future. We don't know how much inflation is going to go up or come down. We don't know how long you're going to live. We don't know if there's going to be a major market crash 2 years before you plan to retire and wipe out half of your retirement accounts. We don't know what the next big boom is, right? So, but we do know is that when you look back over 150 plus years in the U.S. economy, we do know some things that have held really, really constant. The first of those is inflation. Inflation for the last 120 plus years has averaged 3.1% per year, which means every 23 years, the price of everything, the cost of living, doubles. And this is really important for your planning because the advice and the recommendations that you're getting now from senior mentors or from social media or whomever, they're going to talk to you about, well, you know, you need 1.1 or 1.2 or 1.4 million to have a comfortable middle-class retirement, you know, assuming no other income or benefits. And generally that 1.4 million is just about right, but that's just for today, right? That's just people retiring in the next 5 to 10 years. You are looking at 20, 30, 40 years from now. So your target needs to be a lot bigger because your money's not going to go as far. You can't just try to save $1 million and think you'll make it. You need 2.5 million as, you know, is sort of like the bare minimum if you're going to retire in around 2040, 2050. You can't think of anything else. You can't accept anything else. You can't say, oh, I want to be a millionaire. You've got to say at the very minimum, I want to be a 2.5 millionaire. Well, there's good news. Just as inflation makes the cost of living double every 23 years, investing in the U.S. stock market and other assets like real estate is going to double your money every 8 or 9 years, 8 to 10 years. That's because historically it earns double-digit returns, 10, 11, 12%. So here's what I mean. This is an example of why this is good. Let's say you want to buy a $10,000, motorcycle right now. In 23 years, that motorcycle costs $20,000. If you took that $10,000 and you invested it, put it in a brokerage account, well, in 23 years, you're looking at least 2.5 doublings of that. You're looking at $45,000 to $50,000 of investment wealth that you've created. So now you can buy two motorcycles, right? Your investments are going to grow faster than cost of living. And so that means every year that goes by, so long as you've saved and invested, you will be better off. And so this is, what lies at the heart of the planning, savings and planning for retirement, is we just use these long-term numbers. It's a long game. And we know that if we save and invest, we'll eventually have enough wealth that we don't need to work anymore. That's retirement. That's financial freedom. It's the same thing. Retirement just usually has an age. And that's why people say the 15% rule is what you should follow for savings. That's the conventional wisdom, because they're okay with you saving 15%, which is just enough, for 43 years, which is the maximum time you really should be working in order to just retire. So 15% rule gets you 43 years worth of working and saving. But what if you doubled it? What if you went from 15% to 30%? If you did that, you would have enough wealth to retire in 28 years, 15 years faster, just by doubling your savings percentage. Now let's look at how practical that is too. Again, they're not small numbers, but what price do you put on your own future? If you're an E4 in North Carolina with BAH, you're getting about $60,000 total income before tax. 15% of that is $9,000 a year that you would save for retirement. So now let's double it. Let's go to 30%. Instead of saving $9,000 a year, you're going to save $18,000 a year. That's a difference. That additional $9,000 works out to an additional $750 a month. It sounds like a lot when you just look at the dollar amount, when you see that's 15% of my paycheck going out for savings. But think about it in terms of what it buys you. An extra $750 a month buys you 15 years of financial freedom and control over your own life. That's a pretty good deal. And if you're super committed and you want to double your savings again from 30% to 60%, you're going to buy another 15 years of freedom. You would have enough to retire at your current lifestyle in just 13. But talking about when we can have whole life financial freedom, retire early, that's just one part of the savings equation, right? And if we're only talking about it, it's pretty easy to say, well, saving for retirement sucks. I'm putting hundreds or thousands of dollars a month into an account so that I can use it 30 to 40 years from now, or maybe 20 years from now. And this, again, is where the conventional wisdom is going to leave you hanging, right? Because you're like, oh, I'll just keep increasing in my retirement savings, maxing out that Roth TSP, maxing out a Roth IRA. Now you're saving 40, 50, 60%, which is great. You're going to be wealthy sooner, but you're just plowing it into retirement accounts where it's not very accessible and it's not functional or flexible either to use for the stuff you want in your life right now. And so it's really easy when that's what everybody tells you to do to just ignore it and goes on spending, 100% of every paycheck. The shorter term advice that needs to be added into this and as part of that optimizing tactic is the cash that you need right now. And then you need to add additional savings and investments that will get you the lifestyle you want in your 30s and your 40s and 50s. So you have three different savings jars or buckets that you need to be channeling your savings into. And it's so that you can not get into financial trouble now when you're young. It's so you can live your best life, not just in your 20s, but your 30s and 40s and into your 50s. And then the third bucket is what makes sure that once you're finally done working and you just want to do whatever you want, you can afford to retire and be financially free. You know, and you just generally, you don't hear that kind of stuff, right? You don't hear that kind of advice. You might hear somebody randomly drop, make sure you've got emergency savings, but they don't know, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, and especially in the military, as far as how much you should have and what constitutes an emergency and when you use it, which we're going to get into in a future episode, maybe episode 3 or 4. But just as like a personal story, like my money story, and everybody has their own money story and influences them. And, you know, my money story is I took out my first student loan when I was 19. I had my first credit card debt when I was 19. And I just kept going from there, you know, because I was paying so much on the debt that I didn't have any extra money to save. And I had to go into debt, even just, you know, it was a small, like $5,000 or $10,000 at the start. That doesn't sound like much, right? And then there was a car for like another $5,000. Those are small numbers, but the payments were what killed you and prevent you from getting ahead. So you have to have the cash built up so you don't go into debt, because guess what happened? Okay, by the time I was 30, I had over $150,000 in debt. Two auto loans, student loans, you know, like I think I had like 6 student loans. Fortunately, I had paid down the credit card, but it took until I was 41, almost my 42nd birthday, before I finally was able to be debt-free. And that took a lot of hard work and sacrifice during my mid and late 30s for both me and my family to really get our cash flow fixed, accelerate the payments on all that debt, and get rid of it. And so then we could go into our 40s and be super savers. But it all starts back in your 20s and having enough cash saved to avoid debt. You know, please, you can label me a hypocrite if you want, because I'm saying don't go live a full throttle life and spend 100% of your paycheck. You know, I spent over 100% of my paycheck, and I'm telling you not to. I'm telling you to, you know, save 30%, 40%, whatever. I've got at least 15 years of financial pain in there that I really want to help you avoid experiencing. And I'd like to help you go straight into the fast track to creating wealth and having financial stability and eventually financial freedom. And so now we've covered 2 unconventional tactics, right? The first is you have to pick the correct number, which we're going to tell you what we think it is here in a second. And then you have to optimize, you got to balance. And what you're going to find is that, you know, you're going to pick a number that, if you haven't figured it out, it's got to be higher than 15%, right? Because 15% is, if all of it's saved for retirement, you're only going to have the bare minimum saved to retire when you're like 65. Right? So you're taking the most time, you're saving the least. 15% has got to be the absolute lowest savings rate you ever have from here to the rest of your life. You know, and we're going to look at for role models at people who know what they're doing and at systems that do work. And it turns out that the wealthy follow a totally different set of rules and savings guidelines. And what they follow is called the 40-40-20 rule. 40% savings, 40% taxes, and 20% as expenses. The 40-40-20 rule, again, the wealthy version of it, is when you're making more than $250,000, more than $212,000, $215,000, somewhere up there, you're in the top 10% of income earners, you're in a high tax bracket. So the first 40 is actually for taxes. 40% of your pay is gone for taxes. Ouch. And then from the rest, 40% goes to investing, and only 20% makes it for your living expenses. So if you're, you know, if you're making $250,000 a year, you're actually only living on $50,000. Well, fortunately for us in the military, we have BAH, and we have lower paychecks, lower base pay. which means we don't have to pay 40% in taxes. In fact, if we're only paying 20% in taxes, that means that we can shift some of that money into our lifestyle expenses. And that's what gets us to the military 40-40-20 rule that we've developed, which is 40% for investments, 40% for your living expenses, and 20% for taxes. So that's obviously on your pre-tax total. Like an E5, O1, getting a decent BAH someplace who's making $75,000 a year, they're paying $15,000 in taxes, and then they have $30,000 to live on and $30,000 to invest. So let's just compare now where we are. You know, you're a NCO, you're a junior officer, and you're in this position of having BAH. You save some money, use a VA loan, bought a house out in town. You're house hacking, so you've got a couple buddies renting rooms, so you're living for free. And that means you're collecting tax-free BAH. You're making $75,000 a year. 20% goes to taxes. You're living on $30,000 a year. Compare that to the high-income earner who's, you know, they're making $250,000. They're only living on 50. So it's not a huge difference. It's not like, you know, the people you see on social media who are blowing all their cash. The people who are smart with their money and building wealth and gaining financial freedom are also tightening their belts and living on a lower annual expense account. And, you know, the trade-off is pretty huge, right? Because you're going to, you could potentially create $100,000 plus in cash or even more in net worth per enlistment when you're on this kind of budgeting plan, right? Now, at this point, I could say like, hey, pull out your leave and earnings statement, you know, look at your income, start doing the math. If I did, I'm worried that most of the jarheads listening to this would just like run off and come back with a box of crayons and, you know, not, it would be just a total disaster, right? But in fact, DFAST makes it easy because they are going to withhold income tax and Social Security tax and Medicare tax. So they're going to hold back 20% of your total gross income, right? So that means you don't even have to do the math at this point. And why is that? Well, because if they held 20 back and then they give you two paychecks a month, each of those paychecks is equivalent to about 40% of your total annual, you know, compensation. So you can literally just take one paycheck and that covers your expenses for the month. And then the other paycheck goes in and covers all of your savings and investments for the month. Obviously, it's not quite that simple because the thrift savings plan, like any 401k that is an employer-sponsored plan, requires that your contributions to count, so that $23,000 that you can contribute each year are payroll deductions. So if you are, you know, going to put 20% of your pay into your thrift savings plan or 10%, you do have to do a little bit of math, right? Because it's going to come out. So like each of those first and 15th paychecks are already going to have, they're going to be slightly less than 40% because already TSP has been taken out. But just for the sake of like looking at it and understanding the numbers before you finally put this plan into motion, just look at how much you made on each paycheck, and that's pretty much going to be your monthly expense account, and the other is your target monthly savings in dollars. You know, I expect when, you know, now that you see like, okay, this sort of our tactic number one, the correct savings rate is 40%, there's probably a lot of you are like, no way am I doing that, right? Well, first, just ask yourself. It should be an easy question, right? You can go with the 15% rule, which is what keeps you working for the next 43 years and just hoping and praying to retire someday, not having extra cash to enjoy now, not having wealth that's accessible to you in your 40s and 50s. Like, you'll be a multimillionaire by the time you're, you know, 45 if you follow 40-40-20 rule. And the 40-40-20 rule is the household savings and budgeting plan used by like almost all of the 24 million Americans who are millionaires, right? So you just have this trade-off of, do I want to go down the road towards wealth and financial freedom, which is 40% savings, or am I, you know, okay with doing the bare minimum and just hoping and praying to make it, which is 15%. I feel like it's a no-brainer, but right there, that's your first major choice in life financially. You know, and then clearly, the next question is, where do I put it and how much, right? And so we're not going to get in the nitty-gritty of that here because it depends on what you're starting with and how old you are and how much you make. And there's a there's a correct percentage for retirement, non-retirement savings for every pay grade. You know, and you can find those breakdowns in our books and our courses or our coaching programs, because we've already done the math, right? If you're a 21-year-old E3, you should be at like 21% of your paychecks going to TSP, right? And it'll go down from there. And it's a way of optimizing. And so that's again, how we're combining these first two tactics. And the only thing that you never want to do is go below 5% into your TSP. And nobody really should until they're about an E6 or like a super E9, you know, like with 30 years. Why? Because so long as you're doing 5%, you get the 5% bonus match from your service for the blended retirement system. And what that means is, lo and behold, instead of you're saving 40%, but you're actually getting 45% worth of your paycheck saved because you're getting that bonus 5%. You know, and again, 5% doesn't sound like a lot, but let's translate it back into our freedom and our control of our life. If you put 15% into your TSP, it'll take you 43 years to get to your retirement savings goal. But when you add the 5% bonus match on top of it, that's the equivalent of a 20% retirement savings rate. And at 20%, you will have enough after 38 years. So just sticking in the blended retirement system and committing to at least 5% savings per month, so you get the 5% match, is going to buy back 5 years. You know, and then as for the rest of it, again, we're just using this as an example. You save 40%, 15% is going to the TSP, the other 25%. Now you're taking that and you're putting some in a high yield savings account. You're setting up your emergency savings fund so you can stay free from debt. You can put a bunch of money each month into a dedicated savings fund to get a new car, to put a down payment on your first house. And then others you're putting into a taxable brokerage account, you know, like Vanguard, E-Trade, Robinhood, whatever. And that's creating wealth for 5, 10, 20 years from now. So in your 30s and 40s and 50s, you can be a millionaire, and you can actually use those millions to retire early, travel the world, start your own business, do whatever you want. And so that's sort of the way that you really combine these things. And it starts with the 40%, so the 40-40-20 rule. Now, one last, you know, piece of good news, right, is in the military, we're already at a lower tax bracket because of lower base pay. We have non-taxable BAH, so we're paying a lot less tax than we should for how much we're getting. But then also 32 states do not charge state income tax to military members, right? So if you're not a resident in one of those 32 states, you need to go be a resident there, and you'll save additional money each month. You know, and when you're saving taxes, well, it's your choice. You know, if you feel like living on 40% of your income is a little tight, maybe you're starting a family, you need a little bit more for childcare or extra food or clothes, well, the tax savings just go into your expense account. So long as you're saving 40%, you will create great wealth for yourself. You know, and at this point, you're looking at these numbers, maybe you even have your LES open or your bank account open, you're thinking, I got to save that much. You know, it's more than I wanted, but what's the payoff, right? And the payoff is what we're always looking for. Like the whole reason why you want to learn about investing is because you know that you can make a lot of money doing it. And it starts with the savings. And, you know, we've run through 20-year, 40-year, 50-year scenarios for officer, for enlisted. We've done 20-year career. We've done, you know, one and done, like you get out after 4 years. And the only thing you can do now is you just have an IRA in your bank account, or, you know, maybe an officer who jumps on or jumps off, you know, halfway through. And with a 40-40-20 rule that's then split optimized between retirement and non-retirement savings, these are the payoffs, right? Like this is what the 40-40-20 rule buys you, is on your 43rd birthday, if you had an enlisted career for 20 years, you'll have at least $1 to $1.1 million in non-retirement wealth. And you'll have over $500,000 in your TSP. That by the time you're 60 will be worth between $2 and $2.5 million. And if you wait until you're like 67 or 70 to start drawing it, you'll have over $4 million. If you're an officer, 43rd birthday, you've retired, you're gonna have about $1.5 to $1.6 million in non-retirement wealth. And you're gonna also have just about $500,000 in your TSP. and you'll be a little bit behind the enlisted because they got to start earlier on their retirement savings. But again, by the time you're in your 60s, you're going to be in the $2.5 to $4 million range of TSP wealth. And that's the payoff, right? And so we're talking a few hundred dollars extra a month in order to become a multimillionaire and achieve financial freedom in as little as 20 years. And that, you know, that brings us to the question of like, how do I do it? How do I get there? And, you know, if you've heard the adage of like, just rip the Band-Aid off, you know, like that's what it is. And that leads us into our third unconventional tactic, which is bold beginnings. Yeah. And just like you're going to run away from somebody who tells you to max out your Roth TSP, you got to run away from people who tell you to, you know, just do your best or just start small or do what you can. And, you know, they might tell you save $26 a week and, you know, you'll be on your way to your first $1,000. Well, that's nice, but what is $1,000 going to buy you? What is it going to do for you? And it's going to take you almost a year to get there. You should challenge yourself to how quickly can you save $1,000? How quickly can you put $3,000 in a high yield savings account to have a basic emergency savings fund? Once you do that, you're going to be financially better off than over 70% of America, right? You know, the next one should be like, how fast can I get to 10,000? How faster can I get to 20,000 so that I have enough to become a real estate investor and use a VA loan and go put 5% down on a house and then move my buddies in and live for free? All these things, the benefit and the advantage when it comes to creating wealth and financial freedom, all the benefit goes to the people who start first. You know, and when you start early, you also are buying your way into the millionaire club at a discount. So let's say your goal is to serve 20 years and leave with $1 million of non-retirement wealth. If you got 20 years to do it, you save $1,250 a month. If you wait 5 years to start, you're like, I can't afford $1,250. The only way you're going to achieve that goal if you wait 5 years is if you double your savings to $2,500 a month. Let's say you just burn through your 20s and all your cash, and now you're 30 and you're like, okay, I've got 10 years. I want to retire from the military and be a millionaire, have financial freedom in my 40s. It's going to cost you over $5,000 in savings a month. And if you wait much more than that, it's going to become impossible because you don't even make enough. And in fact, there is a price to waiting, or a price of, you know, procrastination. Every 5 years that you wait to start saving for a goal will double the amount that you have to save just to reach the same goal. So it's always better to start sooner. And besides, we're in the military, right? We don't have the patience or the time to mess around with anything. So bold beginning, just get out there, start saving, hit your target on the first shot and move on. Now you might be looking at the numbers right now and looking at your personal situation and it doesn't seem like it's going to work, right? You're like, well, I got bills to pay. I've got this debt payment. I've got this car payment. I've got these, you know, rent payments and all that stuff. Well, like I said, it's rip the Band-Aid off, okay? And I'm not telling you to do anything that I haven't done myself. When we realized where we needed to get to go from $0 in retirement savings, you know, when I was 32, to catch up and get on the right path, it was selling the cars to get rid of those car payments and buying a cheap used car, about, you know, $8,000. No payments, right? Saved almost $1,000 a month on insurance, better gas mileage, and no payments right there. Those are the big differences that you can make in your life. You shoot for the big targets. You know, if you're living in a really nice apartment by yourself, well, just rent a room, get a roommate, whatever it takes. You don't have to give up the things you enjoy. If it's, you know, going out every Friday night with your friends to the restaurant and whatnot, you don't have to give that up and save $50 a week when you could save $500 a week by changing up your transportation situation and your living situation. Is it going to be difficult at first? Yes, it's difficult at first, but it's a whole lot more difficult if you wait to start until you're like an E7 or like an O3 with a family and you're already on this higher lifestyle where you're spending 95% of your take-home pay on your lifestyle to cut that in half. That's true financial pain and that's true sacrifice. But when you start in this disciplined 40-40-20 plan and you follow it, every year it gets better. And then after 5 to 10 years, you're going to have profitable businesses and profitable rentals that you own and other investments paying dividends on stocks, and it's going to start adding to your income. And really, the path to financial freedom, to the point where your investments are essentially matching your job in terms of how much income it is generating for you, it's about a decade, right? So what we're really just talking about is 10 years of commitment, 10 years of hard work and saving and grinding, and you'll be caught right back up. And then another decade goes by and you're wealthy and you're financially free and you're off to the races living the life that you dreamed of instead of continuing to stress about bills and live paycheck to paycheck. So we've got our vision. We've got our mindset. We know we need to be a bold beginner. We need to pick this big target for our savings rate of 40-40-20 rule, and then we need to split it. And so, the last unconventional tactic, which we call base pay budgeting, right, is it's a collection of simple decisions, habits, things you can do on a daily basis to actually get started, right? Because at a certain point, you still have to fix some of the budget and the cash flow issues you have right now in order to make sure you can afford to save on the 40-40-20 rule and get started as soon as possible. So what is this fourth unconventional tactic that we call base pay budgeting? Some of you might be saying like, no, he's not going to say what I think he's going to say. Is he? Yes, I am. Live off your base pay. The BAH, BAS, hazardous duty pay, C pay, flight pay, nuke pay, sub pay, whatever all the incentives and bonuses are out there, that none of those should be part of your living expenses, right? Or part of your budgeting for your household. Just base it on the base pay paycheck. First of all, that's going to give you predictability and stability, because every time you PCS, what changes? The BAH. And sometimes if you go overseas, it disappears. So if you had, part of your family's budget included $2,000 in BAH every month, and you were using that for, daycare, for car payments, for food, and you go to a place where you don't get it, you're in a world of hurt, right? So you get stability and predictability by just living off your base pay. And the other advantage, of course, is that BAH in almost every locale and rank combination is somewhere in like the 15 to 35% of total compensation. So if you're on the 40-40-20 plan, that BAH is almost solving your 40% savings rate just right there. And it's tax-free. So, okay, there's another bonus. It's tax-free money, which means you're saving and investing money you didn't pay taxes on. And whether it's in a Roth or whether it's a long-term capital gain or whether it's in real estate, you can get the profits back tax-free. So the base pay budgeting not only gives the stability and flexibility, but it helps you really optimize your tax strategy, reduce your taxes now and in the future. Now, within base pay budgeting, there's a couple other smaller, money hacks or tips that you need to use. One is automation, all right? And that is like your insurance policy against yourself. If you let all your money come and sit in one pot, in one account, and you're like, okay, I'm only going to spend half of that this month, and the other half, I'm going to get around to putting it in my Schwab account, or I'm going to get around to eventually buying that new car, you're going to spend it. It's just going to happen because you're going to feel, even though you know that that's not supposed, that money's not supposed to be for putting tint on your, you know, truck windows that are already factory 50% and you want 70, you're just going to become tempted and you're going to see, oh, I've got that money sitting there, and you'll spend it. So automation is a huge part of the budgeting tactics, and it probably deserves to be its own, you know, fifth standalone tactic. But we put it in with base pay budgeting. Why? Because you're already automating your TSP out of your paycheck. So you might as well just automate the amount of money that each month gets transferred into your high yield savings account for your emergency fund or for your car, new car fund, and automating the amounts that go into your brokerage account or go over into, you know, if you set up a business or an LLC so that you can start to get into property management and rental properties, you're just automatically moving it. And then that way you never even have the ability to spend it and steal from yourself. The amounts that go into her other savings and investing accounts, her taxes were already taken out by DFAS. And so when she compares her lifestyle from before she moved out of the barracks and, you know, bought the duplex and rented out the other side of it, so she could live for free and get the BAH, like, her actual living expenses for her lifestyle have not changed at all. So it's, BAH is a fantastic hack. It's a privilege that we should, you know, never take for granted, but as long as it's available to us, we should totally exploit it. You know, and that brings a plan together, right? So now you've got four unconventional tactics that you're going to use. You're going to pick a high and aggressive and best savings rate of 40%. You're going to split it between your thrift savings plan, retirement savings, and your use now and enjoy life savings and investments. You're going to be a bold beginner and just get started. Just rip the Band-Aid off, move from wherever you are now immediately to the 40%. Like, again, obviously, if you have some major debts like auto loans, and you would have to default on the loan, right, in order to move 40%. Well, then before you immediately start saving 40%, you got to go sell that car and buy a cheaper car, cash, to eliminate that debt payment, right? That should be your priority, always, to get rid of that bad consumer debt and reduce your monthly liabilities, like the amount you're paying for bills and loans and debt, and then shift that into savings and investments. And then the fourth is the base pay budgeting, right? Like, take advantage, exploit the tax-free BAH, your other pay incentives, to fast forward your wealth. Think about this. If you reenlist, let's say you're this E4 and you're on the 40-40-20 plan trying to save $24,000 a year, and you sign a reenlistment, you're a crypto linguist or you're a, you know, a cyber whatever technician, I don't know what they call them anyway, and you sign a bonus for $25,000 or $50,000. If you save and invest all of that, that represents a 1 to 2 year fast forward on your wealth building journey. So now, instead of, you know, having to grind away for 10 years to get to the point where you're in this financially free position, you can move the finish line even closer. And really, you know, finally, as you go forward and you think about this throughout your day, start to look around and take notice of what you see. When you're walking through the parking lot, when you're, you know, at noon meal, or you're sitting in the company office, or you're sitting in the ready room or in the barracks, really key into what people are talking about and what people are doing. And look at what's out there. And the people who are talking about maxing out their TSP, they're probably driving a leased or financed pretty nice car. They're also living paycheck to paycheck, right? They don't have accessible wealth. They don't have liquidity that they can go and be financially free now. And so you have a choice. You're like, oh, do I want to, you know, kind of be like looking like I'm doing okay, but inside be struggling and paycheck to paycheck? Or do I actually want to follow the path that creates real wealth and gets me to financial freedom as quickly as just during a 20-year standard military career? That's all we got time for today. We're going to release a new podcast every Sunday so that you can tune in while you're commuting to work on Monday, or maybe when you're at the gym Monday during noon meal, chow time, lunch, whatever you call it, and just get your mind right about your finances for the week to come. In our next episode, we're going to discuss the military savings order of operations, which is basically once you put yourself on the military 40-40-20 rule, where you should break out that 40% savings into what kind of accounts, how much into each account, and how much to target. So thanks for tuning in. Remember, mastering your finances is about making smart choices today while enjoying your life. And if you found value in today's episode, please subscribe for weekly content and also leave a 5-star review on wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's Spotify, Apple, or Google. You can find us online at www.militarywealthcoach.com and on pretty much any social media platform at MWC112358. That's Mike Whiskey Charlie 112358. You can find links to all of our social platforms in today's show notes. And until next time, stay financially fit and mission ready.